Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Down the blind, Andrew John. Inside for Elba.
G'day guys, welcome back to the Rugby League Guru podcast. Something a little bit different this morning and some audio that isn't mine. I've got approval to use it from my good mate Lee Addison. Now Lee has been on the podcast a couple of times. He has been an absolute wizard in junior rugby league coaching for a number of years. He has coached a stack of NRL players. His Facebook and Instagram is called Rugby League Coach. Also on YouTube, he's got his website. He runs a heap of coaching clinics around the country for juniors to come and learn their trade. He is an absolute magician at what he does, and I quite often say that I started this podcast because I wanted to be able to talk to smarter rugby league minds than mine, and he is a guy that I feel privileged to be able to talk to him regularly. I think he's got one of the best minds in the game in our country. Now, Lee, he has been releasing over the last few days, weeks, interviews with players that he has coached as they've been growing up. Some of these include Dallin Mateniz-Lesniak, Clint Gutherson, Will Hopewade, Mulatalo from the Cronulla Sharks, so a heap of stars, and there is a heap more to come. The other day, though, he released one with, I would guess, to be one of his greatest players he's ever coached, of course, James Tedesco, who the Sydney Roosters captain at the moment, two-time premiership winner, Dally M medalist. I believe he's probably the Kangaroos captains at the moment. A sensational interview with Teddy. These two are good mates going back a long time ago. You might have heard Lee on my podcast last year. We actually spoke about the day that he first met James Tedesco, and it was Teddy coming up to ask him as a 17-year-old if he could play 5'8". And, Lee didn't really know too much about him. And he just saw one thing in a game and just went, yeah, write that name down. This kid's ours. There's something different about this kid. And, of course, you know, he's gone on to be one of the best players in rugby league, and I think he'll be one of the best players we've ever seen, to be perfectly honest with you. Teddy doesn't do too many podcasts, so to sit down with Lee, who he's good mates with and he feels really comfortable with, it's a really good chat. A couple of great stories in here, obviously reflecting back on their days when Lee was coaching him and he was a teenager in high school at St. Greg. Some great stories. Also some great insights to James Tedesco coming through, a guy that he didn't make all the rep teams. He wasn't always in the A side. So a lot to think about there when it comes to the career of James Tedesco, that he faced a lot of challenges early, a lot of rejection early. He then got into first grade and faced a heap of challenges. People forget how many injuries this guy had in the early parts of his career. He talks us through all of that. There's a sensational chat that I simply had to share with you guys. I've got permission off Lee to share it. Hopefully you'll be hearing more from Lee on my podcast this year. I'd love to get him involved in some way, shape, or form. Maybe in the juniors, he can give us a little wrap-up on how the Queensland juniors are looking up there. But Lee Addison, a champion bloke, a sensational rugby league mind. Make sure you check out all of his stuff on Instagram, Facebook, and go and watch all these interviews on YouTube. Rugby League Coach. You will not regret it. Let's kick it off.
Any that are suitable for family viewing, anyway.
No, probably not.
Well, it's really good to see you again, anyway.
It's been a while, eh? Where are you up in Queensland? You're up in Queensland, or where are you?
Yeah, Brisbane. I've been up here nearly 10 years now. After I was at Greg's, in my third year at Greg's, I got a phone call off a bloke. He's called Mick Hornby. I nearly said he was called Mick Hornby. He still is called Mick Hornby. And he used to do a prac at St. Greg's under Daniel Anderson.
And
he heard of me and he rang me up. He said, Lee, I want you to run this program up here. I said, what have you got? He basically said, he rattled on for about 3 minutes, and basically what he had was nothing. he had all these plans. And here I am looking at, I've just been chatting to JK. I was looking out across St. Gregory's, the acreage, the tennis courts, the swimming pool.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd started kicking on. Grotty was kicking on. Adam Elliott was still at the school. Joe Stimmo was still at the school. And then here's this fella telling me that he wanted me to run this show and there was nothing. But he basically, he told his dream to me, mate. And so I came up here.
Yeah.
Mate, honestly, I probably had the best 5 years of my working life, eh? Like, we did well.
Really?
Yeah. And then we've kicked a couple of NRL players out from there. And I left there about 4 years ago. My assistant took over and Mick Hornby was a bot at another school. So I set another one up there and brought them into the top division as well. So,
wow.
Yeah, so, and then last October, I basically did my business full time from then. So I've done 12 years of school board rugby league, mate. The year I met you, the first one.
Wow. That was the first one.
That was the first one. Yeah, I'd never done school board rugby league before.
You had a good career then.
It's been all right. How's your pre-season going?
Yeah, it's good. I actually had stem cells in my knee off season, so I've sort of been a bit of a slow process. I've really been focusing on getting the knee right. So it was a bit sore last year. Sort of been wearing. So I had stem cells in it back in 2015 after that year, and it's been pretty good since then. And then last year, just like wear and tear, I think all meniscus and all that damage I've sort of done through it over the years. I just had sort of fat taken out of my stomach, and then put it in the mix it with my blood and put stem cells in my knee. So, I couldn't run for 12 weeks. So I've only just started to sort of run now and get back into it. But I'm just sort of taking my time and making sure everything on my body's feeling good. So,
would I be right in thinking this is your proper full off season and pre-season for maybe ever?
Pretty much. It's been a lot. I mean, last year was near the World Cup that got declined, and we had the Origin. So, this year was really good just to have a rest and really not do much, which was good. Just recover and get the body right.
If you remember, 2020 was the late Origin.
Hmm.
So you didn't have a proper off-season then, I suppose, really? Or
I did not after the year. No, then before that was the Aussies and the Italian World Cup. And then, this has been the proper one of just full rest, which is I've really enjoyed actually just taking
Do you feel the benefits of it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I've got engaged, so that was a good thing to do.
You just took one of my questions. I was going to ask you how you could get down on one knee with a dicky knee.
I used the other knee, so I was all right. But it was pretty good. I did it out at my parents' house at Menangle, so we went out. Just said we were going out there for lunch, and then old Johnny set up sort of the balloons and the signage when we walked in. So Johnny set up the camera on both sides.
How are Johnny and Rosie?
Yeah, they're good. They're they're in angles, just living the life. So. Yeah.
Are your football post still there?
No, he's taking them all down now. He's just sort of he just bought a new tractor for about $50,000. It's just this top of the range, indoor air conditioning radio sort of tractor. So he just sort of that's his pretty much job now. He just rolls around that every day. And
you know, after engagement, what's coming, and then it'll be kiddies. It'll be little teddies running around. They'll need some football posts.
That's true. I'll have to set it up. Tony will set him up again. I probably won't, but he knows how to make him too good.
He's not throwing them away, has he? He's not re-welded them or anything.
It's just a couple of old pipes. I'm sure he'll do a couple laying around.
How big was that for you growing up, having that in your garden? And is your brother older? Yeah. Your brother older?
Yeah. Brother's older. But Matt sort of, he had a sort of leg deficiency, hip deficiency, so he couldn't really run too much. I don't know if you probably did. Did you meet my brother? I don't know if you did.
Briefly, but obviously I've seen him. I've met him briefly, but I've also seen him on your socials and whatnot.
Yeah, so he didn't really play much for when we were kids because he sort of, his leg was a bit shorter than the other, so he couldn't really run too much. So a lot of my times as a kid was just sort of playing by myself and just playing footy in the backyard against myself. So it was a lot of good times. I was a Roosters fan growing up. I played for Ken Aram, so our red, white and blue colours were the same. Yeah. So I was sort of, always just was out in the backyard with myself. All my friends growing up, they were all in Canada. So Menangle was about 10, 15 minutes away from everyone. So it was a bit, far from the action. But I just used to play footy and play all sorts of sports. Dad set up, cricket nets, hit a few golf balls, footy, just whatever. So Have some
fun. You're not allowed to talk about cricket in this conversation. It's not. When you've got an accent like mine, it's not been great.
Yeah, fair enough on your end, but on our end, it's been pretty good.
I know. So I'm trying to picture you when you were a kid there, mate. Did you play rugby league as a 6, 7, or 8 year old, or did you pick it up?
Yeah, I started playing soccer my first year. And then all my mates from school were playing soccer. Then we're like, oh, let's give footy a crack. So we all started playing for Camden about under sixes. And then, from then on, I stayed at Camden playing footy in the winter. And then I sort of did athletics and cricket in the summer. So, and then when I sort of got to under tens, I sort of played league on Saturdays and union on Sundays. And it was a pretty jam packed weekend. Just, I just loved sports as a kid. And as I said, I had all that room at home to sort of practice and do all those things at home as well. So just what I love.
Let me guess, if you're a Roosters fan growing up, then your heroes would have been people like Craig Wing and
Freddie.
Brad Fittler, Moz.
I love Freddie. I remember, because that was sort of the time when I was in the grand finals. I remember crying like when they lost. Todd Byrne down the sideline, Scotty Sattler tackle. I remember those sort of things. Watching with my friends from school and. I was a bit upset about that, but
Remember the old two grand final? Do you remember the win against the Warriors?
Yeah, sort of. I don't really remember that as much as the loss for some reason. I don't know why, but
well, Freddie had a band round his head and blood.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
But Mozza made a big hit in the middle of it. I forget the names. I might be wrong. I think it might have been Villasanti. took out Fittler off the ball, so Mozza took it under his own. Under his own spell to sort it out, mate. He's a good old boy.
Yeah. He's a tough one. I met him in England. We went over there for the World Club Challenge. He's a great fella.
Yeah, he is. His neck's about the size of
Yeah, he's huge.
Yeah. He's from my place. So he was like 2 years above me, same club and everything. Yeah.
He's more respected around the club for sure.
Oh mate, unbelievable. let's not get to high school yet, mate. You're running around as that kid in primary school and playing every sport under the sun. Did you think you had anything special then or no?
Yeah, I was sort of, as a kid, I was pretty fast. So with my speed, I sort of just remember when I was a kid just sort of running around teams and I was sort of the kid that would sort of just get the ball and score a try. And then I remember, so year six, I sort of tried out. I think I went to MacKillop, but I was pretty small back then, so I didn't really kick on after. I think I had like Australian sort of schoolboys merit team for rugby league, but I didn't make that. But I went pretty well, and I remember I made New South Wales touch in under sixes, so that was pretty cool. Actually, Boyd Corner actually made us all there from Taree, so we were in the same team for New South Wales, which was pretty cool. And I just sort of had the speed and agility when I was a kid, and then I just sort of got to high school, and every kid was sort of getting bigger than me until I didn't sort of grow till I was from year 12.
I've got some proof of that in a minute, mate. I've been digging out in the wardrobe for you. Did you go to St. Gregory's for rugby league, or was it a school decision?
Yeah, bit of both. All my mates went to St. Paul's Camden as a kid, and all the boys there wanted to go to St. Greg's, and we all played footy as well. So we did hear good things. All we knew it was a sort of footy school. We knew Chris Lawrence was there. He was a gun player. There's a lot of gun players coming through, and obviously there's so much, there's so many older players who had been to St. Greg's and were in NRL all the time, or teams or people were coaching from St. Greg's. So it was when we were from that area, I think everyone was sort of sporty, knew that Greg's was a good sports school, and it was the only really option. I didn't think of any other school.
And what players were there that people would know when you arrived or during your time?
I remember Chris Lawrence, when we were in year 7, I think he debuted. He was in year 12.
Yeah.
And he debuted at the time, and that was pretty big for us because he was walking around school the next day after his debut. And if you remember his debut, he had a great debut for the Tigers.
Did he have an exam that morning or something, Daft?
I don't know. I do remember he was like at school either on the day or the day before, and then he was playing first grade the next day, then he was at school the day after. So to sort of see that, I remember Chris Lawrence, he had all the records at athletics as well, and he was just an ultimate sportsman. So guys like that, I definitely remember. I think Ryan Hoffman was there as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there are a couple.
Did you play sort of like 7As, 8As, 9As, 10As, or was it a bit hit?
I was always in the A's. I actually played up a year because a lot of my mates were a bit older than me. I was sort of, I'm a January birthday, so I was a year younger than my school. But yeah, I sort of played up a year. I think it was 11s, 12s, or 12s, 13s. I played up a year because I was with my friends. So I was always up there, especially at Camden. You know, it's only Group 6. And then I went to Eagle Vale in under either 13s or 14s, which was a big step up for me. I wasn't the star player then. I was sort of had to find my find my own path there. And I sort of fighting for spots, but I sort of eventually found my groove.
I remember when I arrived at Greg's, and I mean this with all due respect here and what you've become and everything, but even people who were in rugby league, immersed in rugby league, and I'm saying this because I suppose kids are going to be watching this and I want them to believe that they too can be something moving forward. It's not like everybody was saying James Tedesco is going to be the best thing since sliced bread. They were all saying you were a good footballer, but I remember a team this where you were given a spot on the wing and you spent an awful lot of time on the wing, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, that's when I got to Greg. So I only had under 12s and I was only 11 that year. So I remember I've tried out for the 12s and I was, as I said, I was pretty small. So everyone was sort of starting to grow and I stayed pretty small. And as you said, I was only 12, I guess. So I had a bit going for me, but yeah, I didn't make the 12 A's. I made the 12 B's. And I think I speak to Mr. Bullock, who's the coach there. Apparently that's well documented where whatever kids come through to the under 12s, under 13s, they said I didn't make the A's when I was their age. So not to worry too much, but
yeah,
I remember I had to work pretty hard. I think from high school age, I reckon I worked really hard to sort of get to where I was, because I remember in 15s, I didn't even make the MCS side, which is the first step after up the school side. So there was five players from our team in under 15s who made MCS, and I didn't even make it. So there was a time there, I think, where I was probably too small, and then I wasn't a standout kid where I was, scoring tries every week and doing this and doing that. So that's even around, as I said, when I went to Eagle Vale, I was in the West comp, and the talent and the guys over there were much more higher than at Group 6, and I was a bit out of my depth. I didn't really make the rep sides in like 13s and 14s. I always was pretty confident in myself. I just enjoyed the game. And I think, as I said, I didn't probably have that name where I wasn't a big standout, but, I always had a crack. And, like you said, I played on the wing. I think I started on the wing for Harold Matz as well. And I eventually, I think I started on the bench for Harold Matz.
Nofaluma played at fullback and you played on the wing.
Yeah, Nofaluma was started fullback, and then at Harold Matz for the same age, so I ended up playing fullback for the rest of the year. I think I ended up getting player's player, and then the next year, SD Ball, I was under 18s, we were only 17, Nufa was fullback, and I was on the wing for the whole year, because Nufa was a beast back then. He was just, no one could tackle him, he was just a freak of a runner. I think I sort of, during that time, I was on the wing, but I think I was playing obviously 5'8 for school, so I was always working on my all skills and kicking and everything just to make sure I was well rounded in all those areas.
I always tell this story. 2010, say that you came up to me and said, "Can I have a go at 5'8? You remember it? We were on the terraces out the back. Craig Bissell remembers it, right?
Yeah.
And I remember you coming up to me, mate, and you'd have been 60 kilos wet through a record.
Yeah.
You were also quite shy. You weren't brash. You weren't out there. And you very politely asked me if you could have a go at 5'8". And because I don't know if you remember, I came in and said, "Right, anybody can try anywhere. There's a clean slate kind of thing." And you did. You basically did one thing. I remember it was to the right to me. You made a bit of a shimmy and did something with the ball. I went, "Yeah, put his name down." That's it. I just made the decision straight away because I could see you had something. How confident were you then? Like at the start, at the start of that year, like were you? Did you think you'd have the career you're having?
No, looking back, I mean, back then I was all right, but again, like I said, I wasn't a really star. Like I'm going to be the next best thing. I didn't play first grade till that year 12. Kids are playing first grade. Kids are playing first grade for their school in year 9, year 10, the next best thing. But I mean, I always just was quietly confident and I knew I worked hard and I knew I sacrificed a lot, especially around that age, everyone's going out parties and drinking and whatnot. And I just always had a, I just had a good head on me, I guess. And I had a good family and I knew I just had to keep working hard. And
I would define your mindset, and I assume it's not changed that much, but like It was basically like, you know, those heart rate monitors you get in hospitals when people are heart beating and then they die. Yours was like that all the time. But if something good was happening, bad was happening, you just seemed to lose it in exactly the same way. It was like you dealt with the twin imposters of good and bad the same.
Yeah. Well, I feel like that's been there for my whole career. Even when I made my debut, I was, you know, happy, and then I did my ACL and it was like, oh, I didn't really show too much emotion. Even in winning, like, we won the grand final for St. Greg's, and I was happy, but I wasn't really.
I remember.
Emotionally, yeah, I don't know. I don't really. I try to keep my steady head. Yes, I mean, I am happy. You know, I do get sad, like, obviously, these times, but I don't let it affect me. I guess.
I remember John and Rosie taking you home in the car, because the night we won the MTS Grand Final, everyone went nuts. Everyone ran on the field from the side. If they didn't have blazers on, they'd have rang the police and said there was a crowd.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and Grote stole the trophy for the presentation, and it was just the place went nuts. And then we went back to the school, and everyone lined up on the bus. All the boards lined up for us to come off the bus in the middle of the night and cheered us into the factory. And you went home with your mum and dad, like, you were just. That's another story I've told too. You're just like, no. And your dad was like, no, he's not really like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I actually wish I was on that bus. It sounds fine, but
I hope you enjoy your NRL Grand Final wins a bit more and your origin.
Yeah. No, I do. But again, I don't know. I think when people ask me about those wins, Grand Finals and origins, it's still like, oh, yeah, it's good. I mean, I guess when I look back on my career, I'll probably appreciate it a lot more than I have now, because it's just sort of, you know, I'm still playing footy and I'm just doing my thing, so I haven't really,
Do you think it's a mindset of just wanting the next one, or do you think you're just cruising?
Yeah, I think I'm just cruising, but I do. I mean, I'm never satisfied. I mean, if you win one or you win two, or you win Dally M or whatever, it's not like it's not no satisfaction. Even now, this has been my 10th year since debut in 2012, and then I still feel like there's so much to achieve, and I've still got a lot more, like, so much more to get to improve on and to get back from the game. So I'm actually really, really excited. It's probably different to other guys. If they win the grand final, they have a certain achievement and then they're satisfied. But that's just not my mindset, really. I'm always looking for ways to get better and always. And now I'm the captain, which is a huge responsibility. I want our team to get better and better. And that's my mindset from now. I mean, but before, I think it was very individual for myself. I always just worried about my own personal game and getting better. But now, as a captain, I sort of feel that responsibility. I want our team to be the best. I want us to keep getting better and better. So I'm really excited for that sort of new chapter for me.
If you're talking to kids, like this week I'm doing clinics, right? There'll be about 100 kids watch this week, minimum, right? How do you go about, and, you know, I'm not asking for the full thing because it might take forever, but how do you go about making yourself a better? Do you study your game a lot? Do you reflect a lot after a game? What do you do?
Yeah, I've definitely realised over the years it's a lot more than just training and playing. There's a lot more personally as an athlete and as a player to do. I mean, when I first came in, I had a lot of injuries, and I just kept training hard, it'll turn, and that can turn, but there's a lot of stuff off the field I had to change. And first of all, was getting my body right, so for me personally, I sort of see a massage therapist twice a week when I'm playing, and even now during preseason, to massage and stretching, so my body's right every week. Body's really important, and I've sort of been through those downs to realise, you know, can't just there's more you're gonna do. There's more as a player than just training every day and playing. So I've sort of got that in my routine since 2015, and then your mind as well. I mean, it's hard. I'm not gonna say it's to young kids, but if you want to sort of be in the NRL, having a clear mind and sort of seeing a guy weekly about just having not overthinking things. I remember that was a thing you used to tell me, to let it flow. I still remember that from our days, let it flow, because especially now in first grade, there's so many external sources trying to influence you. So for me, overthinking is the worst thing I can do. I just want to be clear, have a clear mind going into game. I'm just playing footy and taking a lot of it's like going back to me as a kid, just having fun and enjoying it. Because when you get to first grade, there's a lot of information you're getting, a lot of social media and external sources that can definitely cloud your judgment and your vision. So I mean, that let it flow is still it's pretty clear with me. And I speak about that with a guy every week, of just being clear on my role and playing footy and enjoying it. I don't want to.
Let me tell you where that let it flow comes from. So, in my coaching career, then you were basically the second player that.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
There was William Hoppawattie, and I don't know if you ever played against William Hoppawattie when he was a kid before. Yeah. And then there was James Tedesco. There was a young James Tedesco. Now, There was no point in ever filling your head with information, confusion. There was just nothing to be gained from it, because I firmly believe that, and I'm not, pumping your tires up just because you're here, but this is any quality rugby league player or any sportsman. Their genius comes from there down. Like, you express yourself through your body, and you didn't need shed loads of information from me trying to control what you did. There was one thing I used to try and do to you, and you turn this back on me against Westfield. I used to tell you not to do chip kicks in your own half. you did it with a 14-0 up against Westfield.
Yeah, I think I did, actually, yeah.
Yeah, and you turn around to me and you give me a wink or a nod or a shout or something, just cheeky to me. And I just went, touche. That was the only thing. Like, thinking back to you then, there was no point in me trying to clog up your game. It was better coaching just to let you free. Because nine times out of ten, you made the right decision anyway.
Yeah.
And if you didn't, I could just send on a message and just say, oh, tell him to look a bit wider or tell him to look through. That was it. I didn't need to. Yeah. And there's other players. I used to remember, that was like, don't forget, I was only a young coach, Teddy. And I used to go around the dressing room and speak to Roy Elliott. I said, right, Roy, the field is green and there's two poles at the end. And what I want you to do is come that way. And then I'd go to somebody like Brendan Colley and you'd have to give him the Magna Carta of instruction. And then you go to Goldie and say, David Clemmer just said something nasty about you. Teddy, let it flow. Let it flow. And, I suppose that's, if you like, the art of coaching. I'm not going to make myself so. But it is also what you've hinted at. Your genius is from there down. Yeah. So literally let it flow. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't need to pass an exam on rugby league. Your exam is a physical game that you have to.
Well, a lot of the, like, my training through the week is I'm going to nail everything. I'm going to work hard, train out, do my extras, work on my skills, passing, stepping, catching. I always nail them every week. And then when you get to the game, just trust it. I don't need to be, as I said, I don't need to be overthinking about if I did this right or if I didn't do that. I've got to trust my preparation. I've nailed everything and I've just got to go out and play. And, you know, Robert gives us details every week. You know, the certain defence can do this, teams can do that. And that's important to have up there, but it's at the back of my head. I'm not, that's not at the forefront. You know, I want my instincts and vision and everything else to take over, but it's still at the back of my head. So, and then when I'm playing as well, if I realise the defence is really jamming in on me, you know, that's a note taken for the next play. You got to keep taking those little mental notes, but again, it's not where I'm thinking about it nonstop. I'm still in the game and I'm having fun. And as I said, back in those days at school footy, when I was a kid, we were allowed to do whatever and it was fun. And I guess some guys lose that when we get to NRL and it gets a bit more serious. It gets a lot more serious and you got a lot of eyes on you. Sort of, you lose that creativity. But
you also had this place.
Quite a sort of place.
JK's gym. I was gonna put the singlet on, but I didn't want to scare the children watching the thing.
Has it changed a bit now, the gym?
Pardon?
Has it changed a bit now, the gym? Or is it
still it's completely different. Don't forget, JK had a sign up there that said, just one punch. Can you imagine that in this day and age? There'd be outcry. He'd be on the front page in the Telegraph.
A bit changed.
So I found a couple of shirts. I don't know if this was from the year you were there. one of my coaching ones. Where's the badge gone? It'd help if I And then I wanted to talk about this a little bit too. You can't see it, but this is a CCC shirt. New South Wales CCC. You're talking about your free reign and your free game playing. You actually, do you remember? You went and scored 5 tries for CCC at Burley Heads.
I think you were playing against scored four. One was disallowed, so I scored 4. I could have had 5, but one was disallowed. Yeah. I was on the wing.
Left wing, yeah. And then you ended up playing Aussie Schoolboys on the wing, didn't you?
I did. I went to Schoolboys, so. Went on tour. We had a tour around England and Wales and stuff. So I think I played. We had 6 games. I think I played 2 on the wing. The rest I was on the extended, bench. So I only played 2 games over there, and I was on the wing for both of them. But our team was pretty stacked. We had some good players.
I know you did. And I think what really set you up for the rest of your career was KFC's classic catches, the cricket that we did when we did the Army Army versus Crusaders.
Wow, these are good. These are good memories.
Yes. Yeah, I've got the picture too. That's you there, like when you said you were small. Like has your mum got that picture at home or?
Yeah, I remember that. I know that. Yeah, she would. She's got a whole scrapbook of only.
Honestly, dead set. When you go back and look at that picture, it's fair to say you're probably about the third smallest bloke in the picture.
Yeah. I remember there's a photo of me running out, and I had the jersey tape, and it's really just hanging over my. It's just I look so skinny.
There's some good players here, mate. I mean, there's some that nobody will ever heard of, like Max Keane, Josh Ingram.
Max Keane was a gun.
I know. Zach McKay. Luffy, yeah. Give it
a my half, Luffy.
Hey?
Yeah. Luffy, is Luffy there?
Brendan Colley. Ed Murphy went well.
He was playing at Bears. He was training with us for a bit, last couple of years.
Dominic Chalker.
Yeah, he was rough.
Oliver Gordon.
Ollie had a good crack there for real. He's a Bulldogs.
Nick Walker, Roy Elliott, the Shicks.
Yeah. I've seen Nick around.
Mate, he's grown a beard. He looks like
he's got a. I know, it's huge. Yeah, it's huge.
Sabir. Mate, Corey White, I reckon, was unlucky not to at least
Yeah, Corey was very good. He's playing Camden now. He was the last couple of years.
He's played for Australia for Police. He's played for Australia.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a beast.
Ben Dossiter.
Oh, Doss. That's why in Year 6 I played. You said I touched with Doss as well. He was very skillful.
Sean Royal. Do you remember the helicopter? Do you remember the helicopter coming to get Sean Royal off the field? When we played against the Bulldogs, it was meant to be under 18s, and they brought four-year-olds.
Yeah, that's right. I was thinking of that. Remember when I sent Billy Kitt to hospital as well, and I threw out long ball, and he got smoked.
That was at Paddy's Blacktown.
Blacktown, yeah. Still feel bad. I know Billy will be watching, so sorry for that, Bill.
Yeah. That was the year. That was the game where I first thought we might do something this year because St. Greg's. Pats were stacked that year too.
Yeah,
there was loads of them there. Groty, obviously. I mean, I don't think Groty was ever the same once he got that knockoff bent.
I know. It's sad to say, mate. He was played in front of Fafita, and that when he was first coming through, Shanesy loved him. And then I think after that hit, it was a sickening hit.
Michael Tonner, another good one.
Tonner, yeah, he was a union player, great union player. He only played the league at school, but
I played James Luff in the halves with you.
Yeah,
I knew Billy Kitt would try and take some of the shine away from you. the electric shock, Billy Kitt, and Warren McDonald, who you referred to as Matthew Groat's dad. he used to ring me up abusing me. I wasn't picking Billy Kitt, but you, in my opinion, you were just never suited to playing together.
I love Billy, but
yeah, of course,
yeah, it probably didn't. I don't know. Luffy was just rock solid. You knew he just steadied the ship for us, and I could sort of just.
I used to say to Luffy, and all can be revealed now. Said Luffy, who's more likely to score a try, James Luff or James Tedesco? He'd go James Tedesco. I said, well, if Tedesco wants the ball, just give it him. And then in the grand final, guess who scored the third try? Tedesco didn't score. Oh, it was Luffy. Billy played the year after, though, and was brilliant.
Yeah.
Billy played for me the year after. He was superb. And then Fredster.
Oh, Freddie, how could I forget? He was a wrecking ball.
And again, if you look back to that video, he went nuts that grand final day when we won it.
He was a good man.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think what else. Nah, mate, I won't keep you much longer. Mate, I wanted you to, mate, if you can package everything that you've said about injuries and all that, because you had a bloody bad injury straight away, didn't you? I remember.
Yeah.
I remember turning up, watching your debut, and you lasted about 17 minutes, and then about three seasons later, towards the back end of the season, you that wiped out.
Yeah. So
Dealing with setbacks. There's two things about you: dealing with setbacks, and you didn't always have it your own way growing up, did you? In terms of regimen.
Yeah. The setbacks part. I don't know. I was always just. As I said, when I sort of did that ACL, first thing, mom and dad were more upset and devastated than me. I was sort of taking it in my stride. I think that first year. I spent my whole rehab that whole year with Gareth Ellis. Gareth Ellis injured his foot.
Yeah.
I think that's maybe before that game or the game after. So I had to train with him the whole year. I remember I just got so big, like so soft. Because I was still pretty skinny when I debuted. I reckon I put on like 5-6 kilos just from working out with him the whole year.
I think they
wanted me to get a taste of first grade football training. I remember I just come in every day and just get flogged. I was just smashed and I used to have some down days. But I was always still positive about it all because I was seeing some benefits. I was getting big and, Benji and Gareth and all these guys, and then I sort of 2013. Yeah, I sort of had started on the wing again, and I sort of played about 15 games on and off. I sort of wasn't myself, come back from ACL. I just wasn't, I still had a bit of head noise. I just wasn't that confident. And then in 14, did syndesmosis, and then had surgery on that, and I didn't break my kneecap that year. So I think I realized, sort of getting a bit of doubt after that. Like, geez, it's just really. For me, I've been 3 years. I've had about four surgeries, serious surgeries, and I'm not playing the footy I'd like to. So, as I said, I sort of reached out and found those two guys who have been. I don't know where I'd be without those guys, and they instilled the belief in me, back in me, and my body and mind. But through that whole process of the setbacks, I had the love and support of my parents and my family and my friends. I didn't get, as you said, I was when I was a kid, I didn't get too emotionally invested. I was always confident in my ability and,
Your diet, just sort of really measured.
Yeah. So I think I realised that, when we came in as kids, when I was 12, 2012 and 13, there was about 10 of us all around the same age, like Mitch and Brooksy, Moses, Brooksy, Siren and Brownie, Cole. We were all the same age coming in the first game. We're just like, how good is this? We became really close mates and we just like, this is the best. We were playing first grade, training together every day. And it wasn't, I feel like we weren't very professional. It was just like, we'd get have a few drinks, our diet wasn't great. And we were sort of just, I wasn't taking it as seriously as we should have. And that's why we didn't really win many games and we weren't a great team. So I think I realised after those injuries and, that I wasn't playing my best footy that I needed to fix up a lot of those things and diet, sleep.
Are you a good sleeper? Are you a good sleeper?
Now I am. I probably wasn't when I was back then. I used to stay up later and, wake later. If I had to come into training early, I was always, a bit tired. Now I'm up at 6:37 every morning. I'm in bed by probably 9:30. So I think that's just as you get older and more experienced. But as a kid, I try to pass that on to all the boys coming through. The culture of the Roosters is really good and we've had a lot of great leaders at the club and sort of time for me to sort of, it's a new wave now. All those guys that were there when I came have all sort of gone. So, that's just about me being that leader now and passing on that knowledge.
There's a kid at the Roosters called Connor Takarangi, who was one of mine. You've got to look after him. I think he'll be about, he'd either be in reserve, it might be at North this year, I'm not sure.
Yeah, what was his first name?
Connor,
okay.
Connor Takarangi.
Yeah, one kid did say he was coached by you. I can't know.
Lupe Tavalu.
Lupe. Oh, it was Lupe. Yeah.
Oh, there's been a couple. How are your kiddies books going?
Yeah, good. Awesome. Great feedback. Hey. It was just sort of talking about just me as a kid, growing up in Camden, playing footy, my mates from then, and just that sort of journey and about playing for Camden. And so many kids I run to, so much they love the books and the Teddy's tips in there as well, drinking water, eating their vegetables. Just you know, simple stuff like that. Yeah, I feel like I've got so much out of it, and you know, they're all asking if I'm doing another few books for them to read. I think I had a neighbor who was in my apartment block. I think the day it came out, he sent me a photo of his kid just reading it in bed. He's on school holidays, just like couldn't stop reading it. So just sort of things.
That'd be a bit humbling, I would have thought. That feeling.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that means a lot to, you see kids, reading books. I mean, it's not really cool to read books, but if some kids are getting a lot out of it, then yeah, that means a lot.
Hey, one of the good things about doing these interviews with people I've done: Alan, Will Hopper, Gutho, Ronaldo Mulatalo, got a few others lined up. But in many cases, I've not seen him for a few years. I mean, you and I have always kept in touch, but this is actually the first time we've been face-to-face for a bit. So, mate, I just wanted to say how super proud I am of everything you're doing and the man that kid has become. And
thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
Yeah, because we don't always get the chance to say that when you're a teacher or a coach of juniors. Yeah. People move on, don't they? Sometimes they don't go to bigger things at all. They go to sometimes they go to worse things, but yeah, you don't always get a chance to say that. So yeah, really proud and proud to say I've been.
I'll always remember the St. Greg's days, mate. Especially it's always a lot of good times and a lot of good laughs. So, mate, thanks for that year, mate. It's been
quite amazing. Right. Can I just grab a quick picture of thumbs up? Cool,
yeah.
Nice one. Glad.
Thanks, Lee. Cheers. Thank you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.